The Holy Spirit must be working because we're going to spend a lot of time in our lesson today talking about worshiping God. And Eric and I did not compare notes before we came together, but I've got a lot of similar feelings and thoughts that Eric was talking about right there. It is a big week this week, isn't it? We finally kind of get sports out of the way. The Super Bowl is over. Wow, what a great game that was last Sunday. Really exciting, came right down to the very, very end. And it was fun watching those commercials to see those and be able to preview them in our worship service last week. But the Super Bowl is over. The doping scandal with Lance Armstrong is in the background. The hoax with Manti Te'o is gone. And this week is, of course, Valentine's Day. I'd like to wish everybody a happy Valentine's Day coming up this week. Want to express my love for my Valentine, my wife, Barb. We will be celebrating our 30th anniversary later on this year. And so if you do have a Valentine this year, I want to encourage you to appreciate them and make them feel special on that day. It is really great to be able to have that and to have those relationships and be able to celebrate them. Perhaps you're someone who doesn't have that special someone in your life right now. But I would say to you that you've got your most important relationship right if you've got your relationship with God right. And God will provide and God will take care of you, whether you be single, short, or be it long. You know, last week, Barb and I got a chance to attend Marion Owens. You guys remember Marion, who came down and did the teaching about the Bible? He and his wife celebrated their 50th anniversary last week. And we got a chance to go up and celebrate with them. And he said that he gave a piece of advice that he got 50 years ago from somebody that he passed on to us. And he said, here's the secret. He said, when you find someone to marry, marry someone who's going to help you get to heaven. And he said, everything else from there is downhill. Everything else is secondary. If you marry someone who's going to help you get to heaven. Also, a big event coming up this week. We've got, actually tonight, the 54th Grammys are happening tonight. Big event here in Los Angeles, 2013. Do you guys have anybody special that you want to see win? Or we got any Black Keys folks, you know? Love the Black Keys. They're awesome. Sort of that Kelly Clarkson, what's her song? What Doesn't Kill You? That's one that's nominated for Song of the Year. Taylor Swift, Call Me Maybe. I just want to know how long it's going to be before Carrie Morales gets nominated for a Grammy. In case you haven't heard, she has got a song that God willing, will be able to be published here in the very near future and recorded and out there. She is a songwriter, and we appreciate her being a part of our fellowship. Love her very much. You know, tonight we are going to be celebrating music. If you are, if you watch the Grammys, and that really does celebrate what music is all about. And I don't know about you, but I think music is one of God's greatest inventions ever. Can you imagine a world without music? And can you think about what music means to your life? And think about the way it defines moments, and that you can hear a song and suddenly you are transported to a different place, a different time, and have a different feeling inside of you just by hearing the lyrics or the music to a particular song. It's an amazing connection that we have inside of us with music. Who knows where the Bible first mentions music? Anybody? No? Genesis chapter 4, verse 31, or verse 21. His brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all who play stringed instruments and pipes. I did not know that. Jubal. Yeah. It does sound a little bit like a rapper or something like that, doesn't it? It didn't take long until the book of Exodus in chapter 15, verse 20. Then Miriam, who was Miriam? Who remembers who Miriam is? Moses' sister, Miriam the prophet, Aaron's sister, called Aaron's sister here, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women followed her with timbrels and dancing. This is what a timbrel is, right here. And so, even in the book of Exodus, all the women got together, and they had a sister's chorus, and they had the timbrels, and they were playing the timbrels, and they were dancing around in celebration. You know, it's really amazing how music, when you're happy and celebrating, you want to listen to music. You want to sing music. When you're sad and you're down, boy, music can comfort and strengthen you in those moments. You know, at a funeral, when you go to a funeral and you're missing someone, they play a sad song and it touches your emotions. So whether you're talking about happy times in your life, sad times in your life, music's a big part of it. A lot of times they would have songs that you would sing right before you go into battle to give courage to the soldiers. You guys remember the movie Glory? You know, the way they got there around the campfire the night before? Singing those songs, giving themselves courage, helping each other along. That's the way music is. And this is Black History Month. And, of course, a big day for a big part of that is Martin Luther King and his speech that he gave. And there's a quote at the very end. You all remember this at the end of his speech, his I Have a Dream speech. We will be able to join hands and sing the words of the old Negro spiritual, free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last. And I realized I don't know what that song sounds like. I don't know that spiritual song. And I don't know whether you do or not, but I thought I'd just play us a little bit of that song for us here today. This is by the Alabama Blind Boys, which are a great gospel band. And hopefully we will have less technical problems here than we did last week.
Alone.
Thank God Almighty, I'm free at last.
I heard a voice, but I
Those guys can sing. God has inspired music, whether we're talking about the gospel songs, whether you're talking about the songs from the classical times, God has inspired music for all generations. Because there's something special about music. There's something special about the way it connects us with God. The way it frees our soul. The way it connects us and makes us feel connected to each other. There's a feeling that you get when you're singing a song with somebody else that you can't get any other way except for singing with somebody else. It's a fantastic way to worship the Lord. It connects us with God and connects us with each other. I hope that you, when you come to church, are here to really worship the Lord. I hope that when you come, that the singing and the worshiping part of it is not just, the warm-up to when the sermon comes, but that you understand that God gave us the ability to sing and to have music because He wants us to praise Him and praise Him with each other. Let's make those times special in our worship services. Let's sing with all of our heart and do as much as we can to praise the Lord. You know, David, the Bible says, danced with all of his might before the Lord, wearing his ephod. 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 14. Do you love God this morning? Do you love Him? Do you love God's church this morning? Do you think that our God is worthy of praise and glory? Does He deserve for you to worship Him as David danced with all your might? When's the last time you worshiped the Lord with all your might? I mean, you know, when's the last time you did anything with all your might? To worship the Lord with all your might, it means you're into it. Your soul is involved with it. Your spirit's involved with it. Your mind is involved with it. You're connecting with other people. You're giving to the Lord. You know, the worship team is really improving and coming along. I'm so proud of them. But they are the worship team leaders. We are the worship team followers. They are the coaches and we're the team. And they are up there not to entertain us, but to lead us in our worship of God. And so when we come together on Sundays to sing, realize it's not a spectator sport. Let's sing with all of our might. Be a holy chorus. Can I tell you something I like? Something I like is that more and more of us are getting here on time and early for worship. That tells me that it's important to you. I like that. Next Sunday, we're going to start our great experiment of being here at 10:45 a.m. ready to worship the Lord. Kids Kingdom workers are ready to go. Kids Kingdom will be open at 10:30 a.m. next week. You can drop your kids off at 10:30 and be in here by 10:45. To me, one of the great things about that is that when the time to sing comes around, we're going to be able to pull together and worship the Lord with all of our might. Something I like is more and more of us are getting here on time and early. Something I don't like. Can I tell you something I don't like? I don't like how spread out we are in church service. I think that worship should be, the closer we can be to each other physically, the better. And I don't know, I had them set up an extra 15 chairs today. Maybe I need to set up an extra 20 chairs. But I'd like to see all of us together so that we can share in proximity and closeness of physical closeness as well as spiritual closeness. I'd like to see that starting next week. But worship is not just about singing and praising God, although that's a big part of it. It's also about fellowship, fellowshipping with each other. Here's Psalm 133. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It's like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion. For there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life evermore. What a beautiful picture the Psalms paint here of brothers and sisters who are living together in that great spirit of unity, that great spirit of being together. You know, us coming together as a church is not just good. Us coming together as a fellowship is great. It is wonderful to be able to come together and be with each other. Even if we didn't sing a song, take communion, have any preaching, if we could just come and be together, that would be awesome. Enjoying each other's fellowship. What's so great? What's so great about coming together? Hey, I made it through another week and I'm faithful to God. Amen. I'm still here. You're still here. The devil didn't get you this week. You're here. That's a cause for celebration. Can I tell you something I like? I like the closeness and affection that I've observed in this church since we moved here. I see you guys interacting with each other, and I can tell that there's genuine feelings of love and affection between each other. That's impressive to me. I like that. Can I tell you something I don't like? I wish we would spread the love around a little bit more. Y'all can be so warm and so loving, and y'all are so warm and so loving to Barb and me, and that means the world to us, and we appreciate that. I just would like to see us be warm and loving to everybody all the time. Make some new friends every Sunday at church. I hear people say, well, you know, people live all over the place, and I don't really know all the members of our sector. We're only 100 people. If you met a new person or two every week, within a few months, you'll know everybody in the sector. Just sharing the love around. And when someone new comes into the fellowship or a guest comes in and is around, that they could get showered with that same kind of love. That would be great. But it takes a mindset. It takes a mindset to come into the worship service to give and not just receive. It may be a little awkward for you to reach out to someone, you know, to go out and meet someone new. And maybe that you can't wait just to see your friends. I don't know, maybe we should start coming to church 15 minutes early so we can do both of those things. You get a chance to see all your old friends, you get a chance to make a couple new friends. That's one of the reasons I'd like to see us do that, so that we can have a more loving fellowship, a more caring and warm, affectionate fellowship, not just with the people we already have feelings towards, but making new friends in the church and reaching out to the friends and the guests who come on in. Let's let our exuberance out. Church is a celebration, not a checkbox. I think that's what Eric was getting at. Communion is a celebration. It's not just a checkbox. Coming to church is not something you check off. And, dear Lord, I went, you know, on the Day of Judgment. How many church services did you go to? Well, I went to 477. Oh, sorry, it was 478. You can't make it. That's not church. It's not a checkbox. It's a celebration where we can come and we get to be together with each other. It's fantastic. Can I tell you something I like? You guys are awesome. I know some of you are struggling spiritually. I know some of you have problems in your marriages. I know some of you are crossways with other brothers and sisters in our fellowship and need to work things out. But you guys are awesome. You may be immature in some areas, but your love for God is real. And I really appreciate that. Can I tell you something I don't like? I think we're too hard on each other. I think we see each other's weaknesses too much. I think that we focus in on each other's problems too much. My first response, you know, let's say a brother or sister who's struggling comes to church, and I know that they aren't doing well spiritually. I think God's first impression there is love and affection and appreciation and acceptance and joy. I think that ought to be our first impression too. Okay, you're being a knucklehead. You're messing up. You're not doing well. Come here and give me a hug, brother. I love you. There's so many good things. You're going to make it through this time. When we view each other with that sense of belief and faith in each other, it changes the way we interact in each other, with each other, and we can have a more positive outcome and more positive impact in each other's life if we will not focus on all the weaknesses, but that we focus on all the strengths and the great things that we have to give to each other. I'd like to see us do more of that. Because we are, you are, really, really awesome. For their faith and their perseverance. Yeah, that's fine. Disneyland is not the happiest place on earth. Sorry. It is a happy place. One of the happiest places on earth. God's church ought to be the happiest place on earth. When someone comes in here and they've never been a part of this fellowship, the thing that they ought to just knock, ought to be the one thing that they see is, wow, these people are loving. Wow, these people are happy. Wow, they really care about each other. Wow, they're out of themselves. Wow, they care. That ought to be the vibe of our church. Loving one another. And I think it's in there. But I think, again, as Eric mentioned, we fall into routine. Come to church, we see the people we always know, we sit by the people we always know, we don't reach out to anybody new, we're sort of into ourselves and into our routine. I think if we could just change our mindset to be giving, to be loving, to reach out, to be there early, that we could get that beautiful spiritual buzz going on in the fellowship of love being spread around. And I think that is really what worship is. Sharing in that kind of fellowship with each other. But worship is not just about music and just about fellowship, but it's also about remembering Jesus. Eric, here's the scripture. Encourage one another daily, as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Bible calls us to encourage one another. Okay. It's not just about worship, singing and praying, praising God. It's not just about the fellowship, but it's also about remembering Jesus. This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And Eric, I thought, did an elegant job of challenging us and calling us higher to really consider what communion is all about. And I think if time travel were possible, and just your average kind of Christian from the first century was able to be teletransported right here and observe our worship services, I think more than anything, that brother, that sister would be confused. They would look around and they would say, where's the love feast? Where's the meal that you guys all share together? And what's these little plastic things that you're passing around with little juice in? And man, those pieces of bread are really broken down small. That time of communion is a time of true celebration, true worship, where we celebrate Jesus as our Savior, our hero, our Redeemer, our friend, and as our Lord, our Master, our Commander, the Captain of our souls. That's an important part of the worship service. It's also about something else. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2. Although this is not talking in the same context of our weekly contribution, I think there's a lot of similarities, a lot of principles that we can learn here. Worshiping God is also about sharing our wealth. On the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income, saving it up, so that when I come, no collections will have to be made. This passage of Scripture has got some great principles that can help us understand how giving is worshiping. It's interesting to me, it says there, on the first day of every week. Every week. And then it says, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income, so that when I come, no collections will have to be made. And as I said, this passage of Scripture is not specifically addressing the same contribution that we give, like we just had right there. The principles are there. First of all, there is this idea of consistency in our giving. Every week. Doug Weber and I were talking yesterday, and he's saying that we need to have a campaign called 52 Weeks. How many weeks are there in a year? How many times ought we give to the Lord? Unless we give every month. How many months are there in a year? How many times ought we give to the Lord? There's a consistency that comes to that. And it says, each one of you. That means, you know, it's not some of you, that every single person. I'll come back to that in a minute. That all of us should have it in our heart to do that. And that we should set aside some money, it says, in keeping with your income. In other words, if you make a lot of money, you should give a lot of money. If you make a little bit of money, you should give a little bit of money. It's just that simple. God does not want one part of the body to be burdened with financial giving while another part is not burdened. He wants the burden to be shared equally by everybody giving within the congregation. And the way that you do that is those of us who make more money, give more money. Those of us who give less money, give less money. It's just that simple. That's how the burden gets shared. Pretty smart, God. Saving it up so that I come, no collections will have to be made. You know, we talk about faith being hearing the Word of God, believing the Word of God, and obeying the Word of God. This is the Word of God. I hope you believe it. And I hope that we're set on saving, on obeying it. I got to tell you, as your minister, I really don't care how much you give every week. I don't care. I care about your soul. I care about how you're doing spiritually. And I want to make sure that you understand what the Lord's will is in this, and that you're serving the Lord when it comes to this. I did an exhaustive study 3 years ago on giving in the Old Testament, because, you know, you hear, well, there's this tithe this and there's this tithe that. And I said, surely there had to be somebody in the Old Testament that couldn't afford a tithe. And so I went back and studied every passage on giving all the way through the Old Testament and the New Testament. And I'll tell you, I think tithing is an awesome thing. Giving 10% of your income, that's a great kind of guideline. Obviously, if you're more wealthy, you'll give more. If you're less wealthy, you'll give less. If you do a tithe, and that's a big part of the Old Testament, it's referred to in the New Testament. Certainly, it's never commanded in the New Testament. It's not something that we are required by God's Word to give 10%. But I got into the thing, what about the poor people? And it's amazing when you study the Old Testament, all of the different specific things that God says if people don't have very much money. But I want to share with you one scripture that just blew me away on that. Exodus 34:20. He said, "No one is to appear before me empty-handed." In other words, he starts with all the rich people, and he kind of works his way down. And he said, "Well, if you can't afford that, then do this. And if you're still not sure, you know, how much, what you should give, go talk to the priest, and the priest will help you figure out what's something appropriate for you to give. But nobody comes to me empty-handed." Amen. So, I mean, I just don't, I think every week, even if it's, surely all of us can put something in the basket every week, right? Let's not appear before the Lord empty-handed, saying, I got nothing. But that's not all. That is a part of the worship. That's a great way to worship the Lord. And finally, there's one more part of worship that we have, and that is the giving ear to the Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. God's Word should have a special place in each one of our hearts. And you may or may not like the person that is up here presenting it. They may or may not do the kind of job that you think you might be able to do when they present it. There may be certain styles that you like and certain styles that you don't care for. But as long as they're using the Word of God, let's give ear to what the Word of God is saying to us. Let's have a reverence for the Word of God as it is being spoken. Let it teach us. Let it rebuke us. Let it correct us. Let it train us. And then in 2 Timothy, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, let it encourage us as well. The Word of God is there to do all of those things in our life. That means we have to listen to it and let God's Word. Preacher, I'm going to do the best I can to speak to you every day and every Sunday and every time I get up here that I can. As is Doug, and as I told John Causey the other day, I am amazed at the brothers who get up and do communion and their ability in public speakers. I've never seen as good of men give presentations consistently week in, week out at the communion as I have here. Usually you get a clunker every once in a while. But I haven't seen a clunker yet. They're all good. But whether they are good or not, whether I'm good or not, it's not about the preacher's personality. It's not about the slides they put up there. It's not about the funny stories they tell, not the way they make you laugh. And hopefully they do all of those things because those make it more interesting. But in each one of our lives, in each one of our hearts, have a reverence for the Word of God and let it do its work in our life when we come together on Sundays. So there it is. That's what worship is all about music. Wow. Let's sing. What was that phrase that said? With all of our might. Let's worship the Lord with all of our might, as David did. Let's have that fellowship and understand that that is an important part of worshiping the Lord. Let's get here early starting next week and come not just to sit there, but come to give, reach out, make some new friends, reach out to the guests. Next week we're going to have a lot of guests, and please make sure that you invite your friends. We're going to have a very short service next week, about an hour. And then after that, we're going to go out and we're bringing the care packages, and we're coming early to prepare food. And then 60 of us are going to go down into Skid Row, and we're going to give those out. We're going to serve the needy. And we've got dozens of friends that are coming out. The USC ministry is going to join us next Sunday. And they've got several friends that are coming out. I hope you'll bring a friend with you to help us reach out to the poor next Sunday. So there's going to be a lot of new faces around here next Sunday. What a great time for us to really begin to practice this sense of love, this sense of being early, this sense of really cherishing these moments that we have together as a church. It's only 90 short minutes at the most every week. Maybe 2 hours when you tack on a few minutes before. 120 minutes all week. Precious moments sharing with each other in fellowship. Remembering Jesus in communion. Remembering the Lord in our sharing of our wealth and giving ear to the Word of God. As is our custom here, I do want to close out with an invitation. If you're visiting with us here today and you are looking for a relationship with God, we'd like to invite you to come to lunch with us afterwards. We are serving lunch back in the teacher's lounge back there. We'll tell you a little bit about the church. If you'd like to stick around for a Bible study, we'd love to have you. If not, just stop by, grab a little bite to eat, get a chance for Barb and I to meet you and get to know you. If you would, if you're interested in being restored in the Lord, come on back there. If you're here visiting and you're already a member of the church somewhere else, but you are thinking about placing membership in our fellowship, stop by, have a little lunch. Give us a chance to get to know you. So also just bring whoever brought you with you so they can enjoy some lunch. We look forward to getting to know you back there, sharing more about what God is doing in our fellowship here. I hope we have a great week this week. Enjoy the Grammys tonight. Have a great Valentine's Day, and we'll see you next